when we moved up here from Cleveland, Tennessee, I thought nothing was ever going to be the same. No place was going to be home. Like, Tennessee was moving to a new area, moving to a place where kind of new, the Naglies. Now it's home. It's been a great summer. Been a blessing serving here at the church. Working with Brother Don and Brother John. Almost every other day here. Show up their workhorses. Same with Stephen. It's been a blessing to work with Stephen this summer. It's been a blessing to be in church as much as possible. The opportunities to be able to preach wherever I can. You miss home. I went down for one service already down in New Jersey. And even just sitting in a service down there, it's not the same. You'll miss it. Thank you guys for the opportunity to serve here this summer. Allow me to work here. It was a blessing. I wouldn't trade it for the world. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter number 6.
Well, yep, preach it.
Isaiah chapter number 6. They'll be preaching out of the first 7 verses. Probably the first 8. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I want to talk to you today on 3 simple points on what happens when we get in the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit today. Thank you for giving me a church to serve in this summer. Lord, I pray as we're getting ready to go into the fall, Lord, I pray that we continue on for you. God, I pray that you'd allow the words that I say today to be not my words, but your words. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your power. Lord, let it not be my power that's given this message, Lord, but it's yours. Lord, help the people to get what I got out of this message today. Lord, thank you for who you are. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The first thing I want to see as we were reading through Isaiah chapter number 6 here, the first thing I want to see is when we get in the presence of Jesus, our sin is revealed. Isaiah said that he was standing there, and when it says, I'm just going to read it again because I can't say it in my words, but the Bible says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one with six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah stood there with this setting, standing there in the presence of the Lord, God Almighty. And the first thing we hear from Isaiah is, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah, his first reaction to being in the presence of God was noticing his sin. I think about it as a Christian. One of the signs that we know we're a child of God is that when we get into the presence of God, our sin starts to be revealed. I think about a preacher in the CLA, the Christian Law Association. His name is David Gibbs Jr. He preached a message one time and dealt with getting clean. He always used the example of him and another preacher. They were inside a hotel room together, and they said, okay, we're going to go and we're going to start praying, and we're going to pray until we're clean. And the preacher went over and he started praying. He was listening for David Gibbs to start praying too while this preacher's praying. And David Gibbs is over there saying, I've prayed, I've gotten clean. And the preacher's over there saying, you're not clean yet. I can hear it. It doesn't sound like you're getting clean. I think about us as Christians. There's been times where we felt clean. I mean, parents, you know how it is with your kids. I know my parents. Your kids come down from the shower. You look at them, you run your hand through the hair. That's not clean. Go back up and shower again. Or you go into the bedroom. It looks clean, but everything's under the bed. I was that kid. I remember that. Throw things under the bed, into the closet. Wasn't all fully clean. But Isaiah's first reaction was, Woe is me. When we get into the presence of God and have the spirit that David said, that said, Search me, O God, and try my thoughts. Search me and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. He's going in with that thought of saying, Hey, God, point it out. Think about what Pastor said in his first message about the fact that God's not going to use a dirty vessel to pour clean water. Making sure we're clean. Because if you look at it, right here with Isaiah, he looked at it and he said, It says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Isaiah's first reaction when this sin was brought up to him was to get it right. He confessed it right away. He said, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Us as Christians, when that sin pops up for us, and God says, Hey, there it is, we need to confess it like that. Like how Isaiah did right there. Because you see, like what Pastor was saying earlier about the fact that God won't use a dirty vessel to pour clean water. Isaiah couldn't get to verse number 8 until verse number 7 happened. Verse number 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." The next four words of verse number 9 say, "And he said, Go." Isaiah had to get to that point where he had confessed his sin. God had taken care of it, the sin was purged and taken away. And then God said, "Hey, I need somebody." And Isaiah stood up, clean. Said, "Here am I. Send me." It's almost like when you open up your cupboard. And you can look in and you can always tell which glass is not clean. Even if it's something small. When God opens up his cupboard, the Grand State Baptist Church, which glass is he going to use? He's going to look in the doors and say, "Can't use them today. Got to throw that one back in the wash." Isaiah here took care of his sin when it happened. I think about David. When you deal with David and his sin with Bathsheba. When the prophet came to him and said, "Thou art the man." David didn't look at him and say, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." David said, "You're right." And he took care of it. And he's labeled as a man after God's own heart. Taking care of it right then gets us ready to serve. Gets us ready to go. Not only do I think about the fact that when we are in the presence of God, our sin is revealed. I think about that when we're in the presence of God, our emotions will change. Over in Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Verse number... towards the end of the chapter. We're dealing with Jesus is being taken to trial. And Peter is standing outside amongst the fire. We'll start in verse number 60. It says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter was in the presence of the Lord to where he was looking right at him. And Peter knew what he had done when that cock crew. And the Lord turned and he looked at him. And Peter's emotions changed like that. When we're in the presence of God, and we have that sin that's pointed out, our emotions should change like that too. Because when that's pointed out, our emotions ought to be to get it right. And when I think about this with Peter, I can only imagine how he felt. With the fact that he had just denied Christ 3 times. And God turned and looked at him. And it says that Peter went and wept bitterly. But now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, in John chapter number 20, it talks about, in verse number 11, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou, and whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou would have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Mary, when she saw Jesus, her emotions changed that quick. She went from the state of mourning that she was in to that state of turning around and saying, Wait, Master, he's here. I think about the disciples further down a few verses. It says in verse 19, it says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When the disciples went from not being in the presence of the Lord to being in the presence of the Lord, they, again, just like Mary, went from that state of mourning and being afraid of the Jews to now they were glad. Us as Christians, we get to walk with Jesus every day. It ought to be something that when unsaved people look at us, they can tell we've been in the presence of Jesus. Because I'm sure when Mary went to that tomb, people could tell by what she was carrying, by the look on her face, she was going to a grave. She was in that state of mourning. But I can only imagine how she was running back. When she's going to that place, I get thinking about it, if there was just somebody who was standing on the side of the road who was selling something, I could see her walking by the first time. She's going to the tomb. But hey, he's still there selling something. Now she's coming back. And you can just see, wow, something's changed. Christians, something's changed. We've been in the presence of the Lord. Every day we have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. But when we go to work, and our coworkers can't tell the difference, are we just heading to the grave? As Christians, we have a day-to-day basis where we can literally walk with God because He's not in the grave.
Amen.
Yet we spend so much time acting like He is.
Yeah, it's true.
We spend so much time that, and I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it this week. Nathaniel, be my witness. I was tired this week. Very tired. I came in for that wedding rehearsal, and I'm like, as soon as we can get this done, and I can go to sleep, I'm ready for this thing to be over. So he could tell. I was walking around like, okay, so we've already gone through this. Everybody stop talking. Get it done. Get out of here. People can tell when you're having those times where you're not walking in the presence of the Lord. Your countenance shows it all. My mom's told me that so many times growing up. Your countenance, it's a billboard.
Man.
I remember it was said in one of my classes last year, your countenance is God's billboard. What's God advertising today? Us as Christians, people should be able to see a difference when your emotions change. I think about it with Brother Fred going on to see glory. The fact that we don't sorrow as others do, knowing that we get to see him again. I think about it when my Nana and my Papa and my grandfather died. Yeah, we sorrowed. But hey, there was a reason why we made it through it. Because we don't sorrow like others do. Our emotions were different. The last point that I saw was when you're in the presence of Jesus, people will see the difference. It's almost like they're all running together. Now that I'm saying it out loud, because the fact is that your sin is revealed, so your emotions will change and people will see the difference. Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34. The Bible talks about verse number 29. It says, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all of the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." Moses came down from Mount Sinai from meeting with God face to face, like we get the chance to do every day. And the nation of Israel said there's something different about his face. His face shone. Our emotions are going to affect our face. And people will be able to see it. The nation of Israel, it is very clear to them that Moses had met with God. Very clear. Moses came down and his face was shining. I know that it said with mothers and looking at new mothers is the fact that you can tell that they're excited and they're happy and they're glowing. As Christians, we ought to be glowing. I think about the devotionals that us as teenagers used to get, the glow in the darks. That every day for 2 months you have the little portion of devotion that you get to do, and they were glow in the darks. We're in a dark and dying world. We're supposed to be the glow, the light. As Christians, we got to take care of that sin. And our emotions are definitely going to change. But then the other people are going to see it. I don't know how many of you guys have gone to work on a day and then everybody looks at you and they say, okay, I'm going to avoid him today. There's something going on with him. There's something wrong. But then a few weeks later you come in and everybody's like, hey, he's having a pretty good day. We can go talk to him today. He's not going to bite our head off. Not today. As Christians, we should always be in the point where people aren't afraid to come talk to us because of what we look like. I mean, we all, as kids, knew what our parents looked like. You don't want to go talk to them. I'm not going to tell you what my parents looked like. We got their ears still, and I still live in their house. But we all know what our parents looked like when you were like, okay, you go talk to him. I'm not talking to him today. You go ask.
You need to mess with us.
Whereas with God Almighty, God sits there ready for whatever. But it's our face. It's saying, no, I'm not going to go talk to him today. Can you imagine if Moses never went up Mount Sinai? Never came back with his face shining. I think of someone else who had been in the presence of God over in one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Mark chapter number 5. In the beginning of Mark chapter number 5, we're dealing with the maniac of Gadara. And it talks about in verse number 15, it says, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him, to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when they had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. As Christians, there's been a great change. I think about the song we sing in junior church. There's been a great change since I've been born again.
Amen.
Maniac of Gadara, nobody could say it was a tiny change. It was a great change since he was born again. As Christians, the greatest change in our life happened in that day of salvation. I don't know about all of you here, but Stephen, was there a great change
absolutely.
On the day that you got saved?
Absolutely.
Absolutely? Was something different when you picked him up?
Yeah.
After that? There was something different. Christians, there's been a great change that has happened in us. As Christians, God Almighty moved inside. If that's not a great change, then I don't know what is. The things that the maniac of Gadara used to do, he didn't do them anymore. The words he used to say, he didn't say them anymore. Music he used to beatbox to, he didn't do anymore. don't know if that's necessarily the maniac over there, but it might be some of you Christians. As Christians, there's been a great change, and people see the difference. Those people who are the closest to you, I think about the testimony of Stephen living in that house up there on Merrimack Street. That to the point that when we have another lady who comes here to do community service work, she says, well, it worked for Stephen.
Amen.
So something's got to be good. How many of your coworkers would come into church and say, well, it worked for so-and-so? It worked for Andy. So something must be good. How many people are seeing the difference in your workplace, in your day-to-day life? They would come in and say, there's been a great change. Something's happening and I can't tell what it is, so I just got to go where they're going and find out about it. So as Christians, when you're in the presence of the Lord, get your sin right. It's one of the first things they taught us down in college. They said, dealing with prayer and fasting, they said, the first part is just confess your sin. Get it taken care of. Because you might as well start with that, because if you don't start with it, nothing's going to get done. Confess your sin. Get it taken care of. But then your emotions are going to change. You're going to have that joy that Mary Magdalene had running back from the grave. The empty. But then other people are going to see it too. And remember that your face is God's billboard. What you're advertising today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the day. Lord, thanks for the opportunity to be here. God, I thank you for allowing me to preach today. Lord, I pray as we're getting ready to head home, I pray you'd give them great safety driving. God, I pray that we would advertise for you today, Lord. I pray we wouldn't advertise for us. God, give us a good rest of the day today. Thank you so much. In your name. Amen.